Kilmartin. Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Finally. Jeez. A lot of homework on this one.
Well, we're doing two. We got to do two because you have a life to lead somehow.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. And then last week, we so butchered Pallavi's name, right?
To fix it.
As we were trying to sound it out. And then I remembered she's Comic of the Week. And then I remembered when I did Butter Boy a couple weeks ago in New York.
Oh, right.
I was talking to the audience and I asked a woman what her name was and she wouldn't tell me. And then we... a few more back and forth. And the reason she wouldn't tell me is she said it's Sanskrit and most white people can't say it properly. And I get tired of the back and forth.
Right.
And so that I wish I had that on videotape because it was really fun. Oh, well.
Right.
She told me afterwards and she told me her name was very short, you know, and I said it back to her and I thought I did a really great job.
And
but she didn't.
She was like, nope.
And then cut to 1 week later, you and I are both butchering Pallavi's name.
Yeah. If I've met her, I'm sure she's very nice. All I did was watch videos online, and we didn't get a good sense of introduction.
Right. So, that's true.
We were
actually copying poor introductions.
How was Butter Boy?
Of white male comics. What?
Did you have a good time at
Butter Boy? Did. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I love that show.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's Marianne Ways, and then Aparna Nancherla used to host it every
week.
She
still does. And
when she's in town, she still hosts?
Yeah, Maeve Higgins, yeah.
With Irish...
Maeve, yeah.
Yeah, there we go, Maeve.
Yeah.
I don't think Maeve's been Comic of the Week.
Really? I think she has.
Okay.
Well, we'll check it out, and then...
write it on that list.
Okay, cool.
And then I just got back from Dayton...
Tell me.
Yesterday. And Dayton, Ohio is in Ohio. You guys know that.
Yeah.
I got up and I said, I'm so happy to be here in Iowa. And which is,
well,
have you
Jackie,
done that?
You've it's
done
not
that,
like
right?
you're, you, if you were from the Midwest, I'd be appalled. But
if you were from anywhere, if you had ever played Iowa or Ohio before, I literally, I took a knee, made the sign of the cross, and asked for forgiveness, and then stood up.
Four words, three syllables, mostly vowels. It's an honest mistake.
Four letters. Yeah.
Four letters, yes.
You're right. No one was devastated. Mm-hmm. Nobody stormed the stage and lit me on fire.
Right.
It was actually a great show. It was really, really fun.
So was it one show?
Just one show. Fly to Dayton, one show. But it's kind of great doing one.
Did you, that's not a nonstop, right?
It was not a nonstop.
Yeah.
We had to fly to Atlanta. And then back to Dayton. On the way home, it was fly to Detroit. So at least we're going in the right direction.
Sure.
Right?
And did you before we even get to the show? I need to know all the flight details. Did you upgrade?
Was not upgraded on the way there.
Okay.
Was upgraded on the way back. Maria was not. The Detroit to LAX. I was upgraded.
Do you think she's starting to resent you because you were constant upgrades?
Well,
in her face.
Then she can do her own damn fourth step, can't she? but I have this to say is, it was so funny because I got a text from her because she was already on the plane. She goes, "Hey, did you get up? Did you get bumped up?" And I said, "I don't think so. My seat number hasn't changed, and it's 5A." She said, "Oh, I think."
5A. And, oh my God. Were you playing dumb or
no.
did you actually think 5A was not first
No, I
class?
Did not think it was. I did not.
Okay.
And then I was bumped up to 6D, which is even weirder.
Oh.
It was very weird.
Anytime you're in single digits on a plane, unless it's JetBlue.
Well, no. Sometimes if the flight is smaller, but it was, I guess, a pretty big plane.
Sure.
From Detroit to LA.
Right.
And, it was so funny because Maria was like, "Oh, I got you a chicken sandwich at Zingerman's and at the Detroit airport."
And you didn't need it.
And I didn't need it because I was given a meal. and so she came and visited me about 2.5 hours into the flight and said, "I ate your sandwich." And I said, "Please eat my sandwich."
I am going to make a controversial statement. I don't think that sober people should be allowed to be bumped up to first class where you get free booze.
I think it's
incredibly unfair. I think the least you could give your booze to somebody in economy Who likes to drink?
That's actually, there's a program for that. It's called Al-Anon, where, and what you do is if you want to enable other people to get hammered, it's that's where you want to go. I think they meet every day.
All right.
It's nice. You might like
I'll check it out on Points Guy or Nina Manny's podcast. I'm sure she'll tell me about it. I'm kind of obsessed with Nina Manny's podcast now.
Oh, you should be.
I can't get that into Points, but I love it when people are really into something that
and
I
yet
get
you
into.
Do not listen to the Dork Forest. I love it when people are really into something.
But it's like, theirs is like 20 minutes long.
Oh, that is nice.
They're in and they're out.
Well, I recorded two episodes the other day and I had to tell both people, I was like, we're turning it off now. We're turning off the recording process.
I've only listened to two of them. That to me is really liking a podcast.
Okay.
If I've listened to two.
To do two episodes of a podcast.
Yeah,
that's
I'm like,
you.
I'm hooked.
Hey, everybody
and
who
I
listens
might never
to
listen
this,
to
good
it
for
again.
You. Good for you for sticking it out. Matter of fact, I was talking to, Andy was talking to Sean Elliott. I always feel like I'm sort of talking to his friends when he's talking to his friends. Mm-hmm. You ever listen to someone talking on a phone call and you get information that they wouldn't tell you?
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. It's just sort of a secondary, you're like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, your work's going real good? Oh, good to know. And it was kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
But he's talking
so
to his
other
buddy.
People might have deeper friendships with Andy than they have with you. Is that what you're expressing?
Right. Or Andy might have with me.
Oh.
Or I'm not, like, maybe I'm not listening.
From Andy telling somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was his friend. I'm like, that makes sense. Why would his friend confide in you?
No, no.
But you're saying your
husband. Andy's telling something
your life
to
partner.
His buddy.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
He's telling something to his buddy, Sean Elliott. And I was like, oh, good. Things are going well.
Okay.
And that's not ideal. And, but Sean Elliott was saying how he likes this show. He was like, you know, about a year ago, I've realized that you weren't going to kill each other. And I'm still interested in listening. So yeah, that's what he said. I'm still interested in listening.
Wow.
So there you go. Yeah, me too. So Dayton was amazing, actually. It was one of those big theaters, like a 450.
Mm.
Well, I think it probably sat 600, but they just started doing stand-up at that theater and sort of one-off music. So they were like, nobody's been filling it. But by this time next year, everybody should be. And people drove from different parts, like their two-hour drive
from
Cincinnati and two-hour drive from Indianapolis and two-hour drive. Dayton, I guess, is in the middle of...
Yeah, it's a good place to
be
located as
a
stand-up
if
you're going to do road work for, you know, a couple of years. You know what I mean?
Right. It's one of those kind of places.
Centrally. Yeah. And is there a funny bone? A Dayton funny bone?
There was,
right now?
Weirdly enough, there is a Go Bananas.
In Dayton?
In Dayton.
No. That's Cincinnati.
Was it Cincy?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what a bunch of comics came to the show, and then we're talking to us after. And I think it was Wiley's?
Wiley's was one. Is it still open?
Something's still happening. There was a show that was all women that night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, I think it was...
On the night that you and Maria...
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Which was a little conflicting, and because we were going to try to go to it. But then Maria, you know, when there's one show... She does a full-on meet and greet if she can.
Yeah.
You know, because if there's two shows, it's too
tiring. You got to prep for
tiring.
The next show. Right.
Yeah, you got to prep for the next show. And even
and
second show, you're tired.
Yeah.
So, but she did the full meet and greet and it was super fun. And I sold absolutely every piece of merch that I brought. I didn't bring that much merch because it was a one-nighter.
Right.
And I didn't, and sometimes theaters charge a cut.
Yeah.
And so when they charge a cut, I have to charge more money for the stuff I'm selling.
Wow.
So, and I only brought pins. I brought Spooky Reading Girl pins. Mm-hmm. I bought Meat Shield pins. I'm already at $750 towards the next donation. $1,000 donation. And so I sold.
And people like pins. That still mystifies me.
the enamel pin.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Super Bowl of adulthood.
Okay.
It lasts as long as it lasts.
Okay.
Anyway. It was, but the, I recorded, which is great because I got some things right. And I love it when I get some things right. Now, if I could just listen to it and
I know,
do some
that's
logging.
The worst part. It's like, oh, I think I know what I said.
That's exactly what I said to myself. Yeah.
Oh, I had probably the most dissatisfying week I've had in a long time.
Yeah, there was some journey in the text group. You were like, okay, I've shown up to another show that has got some problems.
Well, okay, first of all, number one, this is going, you know, this is being dropped later than, of course, we recorded.
Right, this is not tomorrow. We're recording this the day before one that we've already done.
Broken Ribs Magoo over here incredibly needy.
Right, your mama.
Right, I'm just always trying to find someone to come watch her for a few hours, you know, and that's taking up time. This sounds dumb, but I have a very little windows in the day where I can just be at peace and get myself together.
Right.
Didn't get to swim because I had to find someone to take her to the doctor's office.
Right.
And then she goes, I'll just cancel it and get an appointment tomorrow morning and you can take me. Oh, during the next swim I'm going to miss? Okay.
Right.
By the way, in Burbank, they have something called the Burbank bus. And once you're a senior and you're signed into it, they pick you up. They take you wherever you need to go in Burbank, and then they drop you back off. You just have to make a reservation in advance.
Yeah.
And all my mom's had to do for the last 3 years is fill out one form and hand it to a doctor to sign and then take care of it. And she's never done it. So I'm angry. I'm just angry.
Right. Yeah.
I'm angry and depressed.
Yeah.
My kid isn't here. And so now...
That's right. He's with his grandmother, right?
Right.
Yeah.
He's in Texas.
And with his grandma.
Taking care of an old person versus taking care of a kid, while they're similar demands in a way, it's such a different feeling.
Right, it's a different vibe.
It's like, oh, I'm taking care of somebody who's growing, who's becoming more and better and bigger and full of potential and something I can watch and enjoy.
You're not the hero of this story.
No.
Keep digging.
And now I'm taking care of somebody who's breaking, who's becoming smaller, who's listening to only Rush Limbaugh on my, you know what I mean? Like everything's descending and she's getting closer and closer to the earth, which will come take her soon or not soon because of fucking modern medicine. Right. And I probably can't make this house any bigger.
Right.
So now it's like, okay. So this weekend I'm like, oh, I got to do something. So I decluttered my son's room. That was huge.
Yeah.
It looks like a real room.
Yep.
Right. So he can actually maybe go in there and not
and
sleep
trash
in
it.
My bed all the time.
Right.
And wake me up 7 times a night by kicking me. Okay. My mom's room, I just pushed her bed to the wall, like literally together three feet away from me.
Is she in there? Is she in the house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't see her.
No, she's just...
she's got headphones on. She's tinfoil
like,
hat.
She
she's
goes,
doing it.
The doctor told me you're supposed to rest. What else do you do all day?
Right.
That's all you do.
Right.
Okay. So I'm doing like the minimum I can do to make my house feel bigger.
Yeah.
And me not feeling like everything's just coming at me all the time.
Right.
So I did a little bit of that. And comedy. So I was supposed to go to a wedding this weekend, which
right.
we didn't go
in
to.
Chicago.
Because
yeah.
she didn't want to be left alone. Right.
Right.
So I didn't book any spots, you know.
Right.
So I had some spots and then, this week, like either I didn't have much, and the ones I did were three people in the audience.
Yeah.
Two were comics, or one was a comic, and two left. And then last night, I was like, "Why am I alive? Why am I in show business?" And it was like in a pub. And again, everyone means well. I know it's hard to promote a show and stuff like that. I don't get it because I don't do it.
Right, I can't do it.
So God
bless them for trying.
Thank you.
Yeah,
but. They're just like a huge group of people that would not stop talking. And comics were like, you could see the life draining from people's eyes while they were on stage.
Right. They were
jokes.
Just sweating it out.
Yeah. Just going, I guess this counts as a spot in my goal of 100 spots this month or something. Right.
Right.
And I was like, then I just started going over all the comics who I'm the same age as who are probably not ever going to be doing this kind of thing again.
Well,
right?
Here's the
and
thing.
And then I was like, why am I still doing this? Why am I pursuing something I've been pursuing since I was 22? I haven't changed. Like, what's the point? And Gary Goldman is out there with a new fucking hour and it's like being taped for HBO and I have maybe one new thing.
Right.
I feel like I'm not writing enough and I just feel like a lower level B act in the realm of stand-up comedy, you know?
You're just
and then there's financial things that I'm sure will have been cleared up by the time this thing drops. But right now we're still wide open. And I'm like,
Right. Okay. So this ledge that you are on
right.
is very, very narrow. it's not an unusual ledge, though. I mean, mm-hmm. if you think about it, this is a ledge that we're all on every couple of years. Every couple of years, you look at your career, or I have anyway. Mm-hmm. I look at my career and I'm like, well, look at that fucking dude. And why don't I have that? And why do I, you know, it's one of those things where you just end up beating yourself up. And if you have a bad week, mm-hmm. which you do, sometimes you have a bunch of sets that are open mics and it's just a bunch of comics not caring, or you cannot get any of your new jokes to work. You can't get any of the words to work. Mm-hmm. And or have you ever like a drought of writing where you're like, I'm so sick of my act, I could just die. Mm-hmm. And this is you've had this before, right? Mm-hmm. This is a recurring thing. So mm-hmm. you know that this will pass. This is not the end of your career. This isn't even the middle of your career. This might be the middle of your career. I mean, you're 30 years in. So, I mean, how long? We're going to live to be 100. And so our birthdays are coming up, right? And, I know what you're saying with, because I think about comics our age and the opportunities that they have and the things that they do and the attention that they put on it, right? And some of it, they have the time. Mm-hmm. They have the time. You don't have any of that time. You're constantly taking care of 19 other people. And
how did I get into this situation? Why am I not Jen Kirkman? She's childless, living the child. Why am I not Jackie Cation?
Well, because you aren't. But the thing is the only person that you love right now,
Sarah Silverman,
is your son.
Right.
You're not going to throw him away.
No.
He is. Often angry at you as well, right? Because he is 12.
Yes.
Correct? Did I not see some art?
You are referring to. I gave him one of our notebooks.
Oh, Christ.
Sorry, I owe you $8 for that.
Well, I sold two of ours, so okay. Why don't we call it great. I think I profit from this interaction.
So there's a picture of me and Jackie on our notebook, and he did a thought bubble for you where you're saying, this woman has to pay me to be her friend.
This is so brutal.
And then with me, and he drew tears coming out of your eyes. And then with me, he made my eyebrows really demonic, like I'm a Vulcan.
Right.
And then I forget what I was saying on it, but it was it was something like, people only listen to me.
Yelling. It's all about yelling. And where did you put? I think you put it on the text thread.
Yeah, but and then he crossed out the words on our
and
on
put
the cover
yelling again.
Right.
So in other words, you are clearly frustrated and doing some yelling. But it's like it's sort of like one of those situations where you can't. Like there's. It's so funny that he thinks that you're yelling all the time when he's literally the only person you like right now.
And I know that because it was when I yelled at him one time. Like if I yell at him once, there he draws 7 comic books about his horrible yelling mother. Like, dude, you don't even know what I'm not doing to you.
Right, right.
That I could be doing to you.
Exactly.
Legally. I'm not just saying, you know, I'm pretty chill about a lot of shit. Okay?
Right, right. It's right. So he's all scared because you yelled at him once and he made this art,
yes.
Which is hilariously dark. And also you're just like, aw. And but you yelled at him once. So what I'm saying is that you have this situation in your life and there's no way.
I am trapped. I
don't know how you now. This is where I'm going to dig my hole.
Okay.
I don't understand why she doesn't live in an assisted living home.
Have you seen assisted living homes?
I've seen nice ones.
Those are expensive.
Okay. And she didn't make a big bag of money when she sold her San Francisco home?
Jackie, I'd like part of it.
Okay. Oh, Jesus. Oh. Well.
If I play my cards right, there's a little bit of an inheritance from the house.
Oh,
I will be splitting it with my sister. But yeah.
Okay.
If she goes to a home, she's going to spend it all.
She should spend it all. Because think about this. If she lasts another 10 years.
Oh, my God.
If she lasts another 3 years. Which, by the way, you might have a better relationship with her if she didn't live in your goddamn house. It might be worth the money, is what I'm saying.
Sister and myself a great favor.
You really are.
By, you know.
By not.
By not spending all that money that could go to her grandchildren.
Who cares? Everybody should get a job. And this is, I mean, granted, I come from no money and no inheritance. And my father, who still works for a living at the age of 82.
Right.
83. But the thing is so there's, but I would say for your sanity, you might want to take under advisement that she might need help. More help than you can provide.
When she gets to the point where she physically needs help.
This is just
temporary because it's broken ribs. Okay.
But what I'm saying is that you also, in this last year, lost the babysitter. So you don't even have someone to pick up that slack anymore. No.
Well,
so you might want
to. I mean, here's the thing. She allows me to do spots because my kid is still too young to be left alone at night. He doesn't like it. He gets scared.
No, he doesn't like it. She doesn't like it. Nobody wants to be alone. They want you to be there yelling at them. And, even though you're not.
So it's still, but it's starting to be, you know, he'll be 14, 15 and then not need an 83-year-old at the house.
No, I'm saying that you could also, instead of assisted living, you could hire someone to come into the house more like your nanny used to.
Well, she never.
But she was here with the boy.
Yeah, but she
helped
never
him with homework. Yeah. You could hire someone to ostensibly to tutor.
No, I want to do that actually.
Well,
because
I feel like
I lost control.
You need help.
Okay. No, listen.
But if you don't want help, I can undo. I can just back off.
What I'm saying is,
you're great. You're doing great.
No.
Have you been listening to Max Fun for a while and you've just been wondering, where's the new Flat Earth podcast I keep hearing about?
Well, here it is. We give you all the facts on NASA's lies and how we know that the Earth is actually flat.
Just kidding.
This is Ono, Ross, and Carrie, and we join fringe religious groups. We undergo alternative medical treatments.
And we hang out with people like 9/11 truthers, flat earthers. We find out, why do people believe strange things?
We join them, and we tell you all about it. We have a lot of fun. We make a lot of friends.
Yeah, we do. We joined the Mormons. We joined the Scientologists. We got acupunctured. We got fire cupped. We got ear candled. We've done it all, and we're going to keep doing it all. Why don't you check out Ono, Ross, and Carrie at MaximumFun.org?
Completely derail in an assisted living. She's not an assisted living type of person. Anytime she's even had to do rehab in a nursing facility, it's, you know, get me out of here. So she, as cranky as she is, she's doing way better than if she were living alone, right? And even up in the Bay Area, there's no place for her to live, really. She wants to be near her grandchildren, right? So it's either me or my sister.
Yeah.
And it's not my sister. And because I actually do need the assist on, you know, babysitting and stuff like that. But when my son isn't here and it's just me and her, I'm so depressed.
Right. Yeah. And quite honestly, me offering solutions is not what you needed. You just needed to vent. Mm-hmm. And what are we, 20 minutes in? We're doing great?
22.
So the thing is, so what's this week's stand-up going to be? Because this will drop, what, the 17th? So you'll be in New York.
You don't have to, just, I was venting.
Yeah, no, and I didn't need to offer solutions.
Right.
Unsolicited.
Right.
So I'm saying is that
I know, but you still were like, so let's turn this around and find out where you're working.
No. Well, I'm just thinking you could. If you'd like to vent more.
No,
so
I have
sorry.
More things that depress me this week.
Oh, fair enough. Oh, please.
Okay. Check. It wasn't even done.
We're halfway through.
Okay, so there was this New York Times article. Okay, so a couple, maybe like 2 months ago.
Yes.
A freelancer for the New York Times called and said, I'm doing an article on women who've been pregnant and done stand-up.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, I've done that.
You did that.
Sure. So I talked to her for like a half hour, give her names, etc.
Oh, yeah.
So the article comes out. I'm not in it. Some of the names I gave her are.
Okay.
I'm not in it.
Right.
That was frustrating, but I'm like, yeah. Whatever.
Right.
Okay, that's fine. Then I get an email from another person freelancing.
Yeah.
She says, I'm doing an article about sex workers in stand-up comedy.
Okay.
And I'm like, that's, well, I'm not that. I'm interested in your story, particularly, I'd like to talk about Stormy Daniels. Oh, okay. So you want to talk about
the only
two tweets. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to.
You I don't want
to. I already got left out of an article that I'm completely qualified to be in. I don't want to be in an article I have nothing to do with.
Right. Right. It's excellent point.
And so I just said no thanks. And she says, I'm like, I totally understand. I'm like, no, you don't totally understand. You don't have to understand.
You don't have to understand. We just have to.
I just don't want to be quoted or misquoted. Well. She took, like, it seemed like my tweet about Stormy was the foundation of her article about how some people are against it, against sex workers and comedy.
Doing stand-up.
Right.
No. What?
So that was really frustrating.
Where was this article? I missed
this one. It was in the New York Times.
And
I'm like,
oh,
it'll just be online. Oh, it was in the print edition, too.
So your name was in that article.
Yeah.
All over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The article
and now
that you...
I look like I'm fucking anti-sex worker.
Again. Right.
And grumpy old comic, which, yeah, I am. I've got a lot of reasons to be grumpy.
Right. This is not the week not to be. This is, you know what? You're going to take this comedy gold.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I mean, I'm not, anyone, I don't mind, anyone could be a comic. All you have to do is dedicate your life to it for 10 years at least.
Right.
That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. And it doesn't matter where you come from or what you talk about as long
as
you're
funny. Or what your
day job is. Yes, I don't care.
I don't care what I'm going to make fun of you because you drive a Lyft. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
I'm going to make fun of you because you have sex for money. I'm not going to.
No. And it reminded me because I never thought of Margaret Cho as a sex worker, but she did phone sex when she was 18, which sounded. But I remember just going, wow, because I would watch it. She was 18, 19, I was 21 or something.
Yeah.
And watch her talking about it at the Holy City Zoo. And I'd be like, oh, that's crazy. Like, I wouldn't even know what to say.
Right.
But I mean,
there had to be a script.
No, I forget her bit.
Okay.
But I mean, it's...
Oh, you were... Oh, from the bit.
Yeah. I'm just watching her act. And so, I don't know. It's not, like, new to me. And it's... I really... Every voice is interesting to me.
Right.
As long as you're writing good jokes.
Yeah.
Bring it, please. I'm
right.
So tired of the same people complaining about the same thing. I'd love to hear somebody complaining about having like 10 dicks on them today and they're tired.
Right.
Whoa. I'm in on this joke.
Right there. That's the greatest premise
in the
world.
What's it like to have an exhausted vagina? I've never had that. Please tell me. Like, I want to know. So,
right.
I was really pissed that I was drawn into that.
Yes.
You know, and I thought the blowback would be similar to the original situation.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. So I don't know that many people.
I did not see that one.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, good.
But I was pissed at that writer.
But sure.
Because,
why not?
And her background is writing about like sex and stuff. So it's not, you're not getting a stand up or anyone interested in stand up comedy writing about it. The real story, if you want a real story, is female headliners in comedy clubs. And is that happening? And how many clubs, how many male club owners would much rather have a porn star in than a female headliner in their comedy club?
Right, a comic who's been doing it for 15 to 25 years.
Right. So,
it's true.
You know, but that's not the angle this person was coming at. And I didn't trust her when I looked at her bio. I was like, no, thanks. I don't want this.
Exactly. What else? What else has been happening?
Hold on. I wrote notes.
Thank God.
I think that, you know, it's, I even feel like you're going through a lot of growth right now, you know, and you're like, you know, galloping ahead in terms of like new stuff. And I'm like, I feel, cause a lot of my, almost all of my act is based on what's happening in my life.
Right.
I'm not an observational comic.
Right.
Right. I don't like talking about.
And you're not
about-
much of a, I mean, you write surgically, like you write very short bits. And I tend to write, I mean, it's a clock eater. You want to watch me, you can listen to me do meander around 12 minutes.
But even topics wise, I'm like, why aren't I, you know, writing about, you know, everything that's going on, you know.
Sociopolitical stuff?
Yes, anything.
Yeah.
And I don't know, when I do it, whenever I even try it, it sounds like I'm lecturing. To me, that's how I feel. And it's not why I got up on stage.
Right.
So it's still not why I got, you know, I guess it's not like, oh, I should, you know, pivot and be a different kind of comic. But I know my true core comedy self is what I feel, where I feel funny and where I'm happy when a joke works is when I've taken whatever these feelings are in my real life.
Yeah.
You know, that are things that are happening to me. And now that could, writ large, that might be socio-political in terms of women in the world and mothers in the world and you know, whatever in the world. I mean, you could pull it out that way if you wanted to, but that's, I don't want to look at a headline on USA Today or something and go and then develop a chunk around it. I just can't do it.
I've never done that. Like all of my sociopolitical stuff, there is like the way I'm introing the sort of the dirtbag joke is about the bad dudes in the world. Mm-hmm. And it starts from a big place, but it has to become personal almost immediately.
Right. Yeah.
And you could do that. I mean, the thing is, but you tend to start with something that's super personal. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about making it bigger from that?
I don't even know how to get into it.
Right. It'd be, yeah. But the thing is, you can't, this is a classic, is you can't write anything but what you write.
Right.
Stand-up wise. And there's no way to force it to change the way you write. I mean, the best you've done is to write monologue jokes for late night. Mm-hmm. That is you forcing a different direction.
Yeah,
right?
And I'm writing for somebody else.
And
so
you're writing
fine.
For something else, so it doesn't even...
I mean, there's got to be an audience for somebody who's like kind of funny, but not hilariously funny about liberal politics.
Wait... There's 30,000 comics that are doing that right now. I don't want, because the thing is you're saying it in ways that I don't want to put names on that. But there's are you kidding me? It's like there's that guy. There's okay. There's that woman. There's
is that my name? Oh, yes. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and well, those are both very, very funny people who are sociopolitical, liberal-leaning, and talking about
it. On Twitter.
It. No,
on
stage.
On stage as well.
Yeah, and so the thing is that's happening. So what don't you want about the thing is my material has always been sociopolitical, left-lean. Like, no one's ever has ever been surprised since 1984. That I am a Crystal Clutcher left-leaning hippie skippy. But it has never been... Like, I had one joke where I mentioned George Bush by name, George W. Bush, and it was a fingering joke. So know in your heart that there's nothing...
How you wanted to be fingered by him? I always thought that was an odd fantasy.
That is an odd fantasy, just sort of bringing it out there. It was such a dumb. You ever look back? Well, I look back on the way I named certain tracks on the album, and I'm like, why would you have called it that? It's such a weird. It wasn't even. I think that's what I called it on my set list, which is different from how it should be titled.
How a joke gets its name, and then the joke
track?
Like 1 year later has nothing to do with the joke's name.
Right.
And no one would know if they stumbled upon your notebook afterwards what joke you were
talking
about.
What the hell you were, what bit you were doing.
Yeah.
And so I look at some of the old track listing going, what did you do? And I just, I loathe, Circus People has, I decided instead of saying the word family, that I would put the word B, family. I never say family like that. There's absolutely no, it's the lamest thing I've ever done in my whole life. It's dumb. It's not good.
D-U-M-B or D-U-M?
I don't know.
Jackie, I'm back.
You're back. Excellent. So,
but okay, so Sarah Silverman, she wrote a memoir a while ago, right?
Right. What has she done lately, though, huh?
She's doing a musical.
Wait, she's going to sing?
No, she's writing a musical.
Okay, thank
you. What
nope.
I'm saying...
Not out loud. What just happened?
I don't know what's happening.
I don't know how she sings. I don't know why I would judge her singing. Next.
Yeah, she probably sings fine.
Yeah,
people that sings. Like musicals can usually sing pretty well. That's why they like musicals. They sing along to them in the car.
Okay. This seems sweeping, but I don't think so.
But my point is she's like a couple years younger than us.
Okay.
Right? You and me, we're still like hoping for a Netflix special from
except for not since I heard what they do. I don't want a Netflix special. Do you hear about that?
Where I wouldn't even care anymore.
Well, because they own the next hour and a half.
Good luck getting another hour and a half from me. I'll be 80 when I come up with a new hour and a half.
Oh, this is a plateau. You're going to be fine. I know. It's
anyway,
depressing.
But then I'm like, is the exposure amazing? Like, I'd love to talk to, there's some people that I like
seriously?
Had a Netflix special where I'm like, did it do anything? Like, I can't tell if it did anything. Right.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, so that's a problem.
Okay. Yeah.
So
that's, you're right. That didn't help that person at all.
Right. And so am I wasting a lot of energy and
yes.
angst hoping for that?
You are absolutely.
Yes, you are.
But
the peanut gallery is.
But here's the thing. So
like, but it's your energy.
This week. So Christella posted this really cool post about how, you know, she's did Conan after 10 years of stand up and it led to this. And she never got new faces. She never got any of the things that everyone thinks you're supposed to get and all the things that comics are going for when they're starting out.
I saw
and
that.
She still got a TV show based off of her Conan set after
right.
10 years. And you quote tweeted and you're like, well, I didn't get mine till I was 28 years in, but we're all on our own journey.
I did. And that's exactly what I said, because I didn't go. I auditioned for JFL
yeah.
for 15 years. And then somebody finally explained to me in 2002 that it was
that racket.
Well, yeah. that it was that initially the Aspen Comedy Festival was about characters, and
yeah.
if you had jokes that were characters, you should do those because that was casting, and if you had a development idea, you should do that for Montreal. And so in 2002, I did a set. Someone told me that I did a set that was a wacky. Hey, my parents move in with me set.
Yeah.
And I got frickin' JFL. I got Just for Laughs the next year. It didn't make any sense.
Right.
And but I had been auditioning for it since 93, if not 90.
Wow.
Wait, I don't know how long it'd been around, but long time.
Yeah.
And many years. You know, they just... The thing is all of those... Christelle is a perfect example of... Screw the gatekeepers.
Right. Yeah. But also, what you wrote broke my heart at the same time.
Oh, because it took so long to get a late night set?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when Conan gave me that, when JP gave me that set on Conan, it was 2013, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I was going around working the set. Right?
Right.
And I did Meltdown. I did a work in. I was like, can I just get a 5-minute work in? And Emily was like, wait, you've never done late night? And I was like, no, I did a Comedy Central. I've done Late Friday. And so, like,
oh
I did all the shitty...
The one that Henry Cho hosted?
No, it was... I did... Maybe it was Henry Cho. I don't know. There was music over my set. Did you do that one?
Was that the one Lisa Langgang booked?
No, that was something else that was also Late Friday.
Yeah.
But that was... No, the one with music was not the one Lisa Langgang. The one that
you
Lisa
would
Langgang,
remember if Henry Cho...
No, I don't know Henry Cho.
Yeah, you know Henry Cho, right?
I know of Henry Cho. I've never... I don't think I've met Henry Cho.
Okay.
So, but...
Jolly Bonely Stewart.
No, nope. Is that a quote? One of his bits.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah. But the thing is so there was some I have to say that there was some gratification that everyone was so shocked that I had not done a late night set
right.
on any of the. And I had auditioned for all of them for the two guys who booked Leno.
Oh, yeah. Bob Mark and Ross and Mark, right?
Bob, Mark, Ross. They all had four. They three had and a half
four first, names.
First names. Yeah. They had three and a half first names. And
Jim and Bob.
Yeah. Tonight Show. Yeah. I auditioned for Letterman several times. Got nothing. Mm-hmm. I auditioned for, Leno, Letterman. I did all of them. It was Ed Kimmel.
I did a Kimmel
Carson,
set.
Carson Daly.
Wow. Yeah.
All I literally, if there was a set, I was like, sure, I'll put something together.
Yeah.
And but there's part of me, like for example, I haven't sent Jessica Pilot another set for
I know
for
I haven't
Colbert.
Either. Right.
I haven't sent JP another set. I haven't gone through the 20. I have 23 new hours. I did 4 hours, and now I am back up to 23 hours of stand-up
listening.
I have not listened to. So. Part of it is I'm not doing the work, right? I mean, that's where, you know, where whenever I feel like I'm being dismissed and I'm not being valued, whenever I think that, I am like, okay, that is probably true. I am being dismissed and not valued.
Yeah.
But am I doing everything I could do?
True. But there's also what's happening to some comics, which might not be happening to you or me, is like, hey, I want you to do my show. Show me a set. So
Not.
So they're like reaching out and asking you to do.
A girl likes to be asked.
Definitely.
It's true.
It's harder when you're just blindly putting together 5 minutes and going, okay, now I'm going to email it to this person and then never hear from them again and not know if they watched it, what the problem was, etc.
Right. That's what my favorite thing about JP is that. And he may not be doing this for everyone, but I know he does it for a lot of comics, mm-hmm. where he'll send back feedback that just says, this is a good joke. If you picked one joke out of my 10-minute set, other late-night bookers, I would build a set around that joke. If I send you a 5-minute set or a 10-minute, whatever amount of set, and you liked one of those jokes, or your people liked one of those jokes, or somebody liked one of those jokes, mm-hmm. I could then build a set around that. So you do need the feedback. The feedback's super important.
Yeah.
But whenever, because I sometimes, you know, like you do. You feel dismissed and belittled and like you're banging your head against the door and your head hurts and...
Yeah.
All I think sometimes is I'm banging my head against the right door. I picked the fucking door. That's the good news.
Yeah.
This is the door that I picked to bang my head against.
I know. Like last night after that set in front of just a crowd.
People?
And then by that time,
by the time
I was up, the crowd had left, but it was so depressing. And it was just the comics that were left basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like Saturday night and I was like, I'm not even going to look at the Comedy Store lineup because I'll shoot myself.
Oh, right.
Right?
Felicia Michaels tweeted it today.
Oh, she did.
And she was the only woman on this list.
On Saturday?
No, for tonight, I think, or for a show that's upcoming. And I was like, and I almost said something and I was like, nah, I don't want to rain on her parade. I don't want to go.
No.
I didn't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also.
It's sort of like Karen Rontowski being the only woman that Eddie Brill booked that one year. Where you're like, well, I don't want to belittle Karen Rontowski at all because she's an amazing
comic. And also, Eddie Brill's not in power anymore. It's a lot easier to.
Right.
You know, we, to expect you to, or I don't know, it's. We just want our spots, man.
It's true. Hey, speaking of which, let's do a Max Fun Spot.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm Aneke.
And I'm James. And together, we are the self-proclaimed Wonder Twins of podcasting and host Minority Corner.
We tackle subjects like LGBTQ topics, pop culture,
and untold histories of American POCs, like the true story of escaped slave turned pirate turned Navy man in the Civil War turned congressman Robert Smalls.
Plus current events from our perspective.
Deep dive movie and TV reviews. You'll also get
awesome book recommendations from their neighborhood-friendly librarian.
Don't forget my award-winning Jennifer Hudson impressions.
And I'm telling you.
While never taking ourselves too seriously.
Minority Corner. Because together,
we're the majority.
Every Friday here on Maximum Fun.
And we're back, you guys. Is it time for Comic of the Week, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. We're 42.
42.
Good. We're doing two today, so.
Jacqueline Novak needs no introduction, but let's introduce her.
She's so funny.
She's so funny. Her name's Jacqueline Novak.
Yes.
J-A-C-Q-U-E-L-I-N-E. That's how I spell my name.
Mm-hmm.
Novak. N-O-V-A-K.
Like Kim Novak.
Like Kim Novak.
Of the Hitchcock movies.
Of, oh, right. Of, from Showbiz. Is she related, do you think?
I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't think Novak's an uncommon name.
Right, right. And but I know that she's really funny. The three sets, I've seen her live talk about other things, but the three sets that I watched on TV were all food related, which,
you know,
I was
what?
Like, I love, I mean, if you're going to talk about, like, I, Tim Allen loves to fucking talk about tools, man.
Right.
To this day.
Women, that should be our thing. Honestly,
the food.
I'm tired of men talking about food. We're the ones that are fucking insane about it. Okay,
right.
Let
you
us have
us
it.
Nuts. And so, yeah, but Jacqueline Novak,
she's
very
funny, and she has a one-person show that I haven't seen,
oh, yeah?
But everyone is like raving about it. And
on Broadway?
She is
in
headed to Broadway. She's
okay.
She's still workshopping it, but I think she has like a line, like a run at the Cherry Lane Theater. If I'm correct,
is it a stand-up hour or
yeah,
is
like
a solo
an,
show?
It's a solo. You know what? That's up
there
to
might be
the critics to decide,
oh,
I guess.
Enough.
I'm sure there's a little bit right. of each.
I hope she, yeah, whatever she calls it, that's what it is,
yeah,
it turns
she's
out.
She's super funny. So check
awesome.
Her out.
So she is the comic of the week.
Mm-hmm.
This week, I am here, I believe. This will be the 17th, I think.
Right.
And I am going to learn how to do Pilates.
Oh,
I ain't never done no Pilates.
You'll like it.
And it's supposed to be good for physical therapy, for stretching and stuff.
Sure.
And
are you
that,
still rolfing?
No, no. I finished my the one rolfer and then I went to the new rolfer and it didn't take. Mm. So I might
you
go
didn't
back.
Like that rolfer?
No, I liked her. She was good. She just didn't want to do a series.
Mm.
I could have insisted, I suppose.
Wait, she doesn't want money? What kind
I know,
of
I thought,
a rolfing
I thought,
business is this?
I know. I thought that was, I found that fascinating.
Mm.
And, but she was, yeah, she was great. I'm going to do sets around town. I think I'm doing the Ripped Bodice.
Oh,
this
nice.
Week, I love that set.
Yeah.
I love that place.
Oh, the other thing that happened this week was, okay, first of all, I said yes to a show that wasn't stand-up.
Oh.
And I didn't realize it till that afternoon.
Was it panel or something?
No. It was a fun show.
Oh, good.
But I you know me.
You just
like
want to do a set.
I just want to do a set, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to do fun shows. I just want to do stand-up, right? Especially this week. Because unsatisfying
like,
or zero
right,
stand-up.
Right,
I'm just at home with an old woman.
Yeah.
Right? It's
Wednesday
so
night
depressing.
Here in Burbank, there's a place called Geeky Tees. I like that open mic.
Oh.
It's a you get a bottle of water and it's in the back of a game
I
store.
I know where Geeky Tees is. I didn't know they had an open mic.
Yeah, on Wednesdays, as Mark Fernandez and Dan Telfer were there the last time.
Oh.
And his Dan's buddy, it's not Thea. What?
Yeah, Thea, who runs the lyric show with him?
I think maybe.
Yeah.
Is it Thea, though?
I don't
it's pronounced something
name,
else, some other way.
Oh, Taya?
It might be Taya.
Oh, okay.
And
listen, once, like, Thea Vidal is in my head so much that it's hard to switch up the pronunciation.
Right. Sometimes I'm doing the best I can. And it's, but that open mic is actually quite fun.
Oh.
You get a bottle of water, you got to pay $5, but
okay.
It's not bad.
Well, anyway, so I don't want to give away any details that
okay.
would make anyone feel bad because I'm
yeah.
happy that I was asked to do it and it was a fun show.
Once
here's
you got
the
there.
Thing. I always complain. I'm like, oh my God, if what did I say yes to? And then I get there and it's fun.
Right.
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 So I have to be dragged to joy. But I get to one comedy venue where it's at, and the person says, oh, it's not here.
Oh, I did follow this on the text chain.
Oh, okay. And then I figure, oh, it must be over there because they have similar names.
Right.
So I go over there, and they're like, no, it's not here. I think it's over there. So then I go back to, yeah, then I go back to the original place, and it is there. And so now instead of being 15 minutes early, I'm 10 minutes late. a show where I'm not doing stand-up.
I don't understand how you could walk into a venue. Like, when you walk into a bar and you're like, there's stand-up here, right? And in this case, you're like, is this show here? And the people at the front don't know.
Well, so they thought it was someplace. There was a miscommunication. And everyone's working for free. Okay, so no one's... whatever. Right.
The whole idea of working for free...
I'm not blaming... I'm just saying... that on top of everything this week, I was like, oh, I'm just being asked to leave show business. People are asking me to leave.
Does it feel like there's a terrible non-cry for help? It's a cry to get out. They want you to get out. And they
and I realize that this is a lot of comics' life all the time. Like,
yeah.
Working these hard rooms.
Yes.
Like, if you're new, it's fucking brutal. I get it. It's a little more brutal when you're 31 years in. That's the only time it's actually worse.
And you're feeling it this week. It's not that this doesn't belittle what they feel.
I come home to nothing to make me forget it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and then I was thinking, you know, like, here's what I've been able to do successfully for 30 years is comedy has masked a problem I've had my whole life, which is an inability to hang out with people or be social, right?
Okay.
So as a teenager, I always felt like I was a loser, right? Because I never went out on Saturday nights with my friends. I just didn't know how to, I couldn't do it, right?
Right.
And then I became a comic, and now I have something to do every Saturday night.
Right, you're out.
I'm never a loser. I'm always doing stand-up.
Right.
New Year's Eve, I always have plans, right?
Yeah.
I'm never a loser.
Wow.
But that's only because of stand-up comedy. And if you take stand-up away from me, I'm like, I can't do anything. I don't know how to go out to dinner with people. I don't know how to just hang out. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it.
Right. Right.
Like, I was supposed to – I went to somebody – she – this woman invited me to a barbecue at her house.
Yeah.
Right? And I didn't even know her very well.
Right.
And she invited me. So I went, and it was fun.
Yep.
I couldn't stay very long. And then I'm like...
Emotionally or because of your schedule?
Because of the schedule.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm going to return the favor. And that was like 3 years ago, because I don't even know how to throw a party. I don't know how to go just have everyone bring donuts and what do I do? What's everyone do? Do I have enough chair? Like, but I don't know. So, and I'm...
This is a very real thing.
Yes. Yeah. I think comedy can really help you.
It saved your life.
Yes.
In many
but
ways.
It can help you. It can help you. And then all of a sudden, you know, when you have a night off, you're like, what am I?
15 years ago, I had the same thing.
Yeah.
It's 15 or 16 years ago. What happened to you was 13 years ago, you got pregnant by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And then you you got the boy.
Mm-hmm.
About 15 years ago, I decided that I would like a boyfriend, that I wanted a whole life, because I, too, I didn't even have any friends in high school or junior high or grade school or any of that. So when I went to college, I essentially... I remember a friend of mine who I still have, who lives up in the Bay Area. The first time I met her, she inspires sort of like really serious talk, my friend Mary Skinner. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first conversation I had with her, I said, you know, the great thing is that I can reinvent myself. I can be a different person from when I was in high school. And she goes, yeah, you could. What do you want to be? And I said,
she didn't notice that you had that.
Well,
you felt like
well,
you
she
had.
Didn't know me before. She had
oh,
just
oh,
met me.
Oh, I see.
And she was like, well, what do you want to be now that you weren't then? And I said, well, I want friends and I want to do things. And she's like, okay, we can be friends. And then we were friends and we're still friends.
Right.
And, but I didn't know how to, and then I started doing stand-up like 6 months later and it was like, it still is to some extent. It's like heroin. Where you're like, this is all I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about stand-up for hours every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to... And so about 15 years ago, I was like, I am sick of getting laid. I am sick of getting drunk. And I am sick of not having anything but stand-up comedy to either be happy about or be devastated about.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I did online dating. And I wasn't good at it. And I kept doing it. And I ended up meeting someone. But what I had to do is I had to shake up my damn life because I wanted a whole life. Stand-up comedy saved my life. I genuinely believe that.
Yeah, me too.
But it does not replace all of the different parts of it. So I am not, still not very good socially. And that's why I have comedy brunch, where I have a lot of people, and I am acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have, I have some close friends, and I have people that I can hang out with for hours, but that is a learned fucking skill over right. the last 15 years. And we can have barbecue. You got a pool.
I know.
I'll help you. I'll help you out. You want to have a barbecue?
It's fucking 95 degrees right now.
It's 95 degrees in this garage. It is very warm. How? Where are we doing? 53. 7 more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So in the next episode, do you want to have a real conversation about...
Never. Okay. You've already lost me.
That's right. Well, the first 22 minutes of this thing was real conversation. So, yeah, I forgot my notebook, so we can't even talk about stand-up. It's very sad.
I can't remember anything from...
Well, I do, but I've been wanting to do Joke Machine a lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I've scheduled Erin Foley to do Joke Machine, but she keeps... Like, she got... Last minute, I think she got food poisoning. She had to cancel. Carmen Morales will do Joke Machine with me.
Mm-hmm.
But... And I did it with her and Gary Peterson.
I'm trying not to be outraged at the name Joke Machine.
Oh. It's just the way we... Mm-hmm. It's just riffing back and forth.
Right. Yeah. Writing. Yeah. Writing.
Just, yeah. Well, it doesn't have to have a...
Joke Machine? It's like a...
It's fun.
It's like a contraption you invented.
It is a contraption I invented. And it's super fun. It's real good. It's like your TV for some reason. It's got a lot of imagery, doesn't it? It paints a picture. Do you know what the picture it paints? Is that we're getting work done, but it's also super fun. That's the picture it paints for me,
mm-hmm.
and it paints for other people.
No,
who
I
like
think
to
that's
play.
Great.
Though I will say, Maria's been doing this thing where she she's like, I will buy you a scone. And a cup of coffee if you listen to my hour.
Oh, she's been doing that for a while, right?
Yeah, she's been doing that for a while. And then people who can't afford to go to the show, because the tickets are like $35-$40 now to go see Maria.
Whoa.
And they will meet her at a coffee shop during the day on a Friday or a Saturday.
Wow. Does she do that when she goes on the road? Like, she lands in Dayton, I'm going to do a show this afternoon
We always get there the day before.
Right.
Because
that's the way
the
to
travel.
Do it.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
And so she's got the day. So she wakes up 11, 12, meets somebody for coffee and a donut or whatever, and does her hour at that person. Sometimes it's a comic, sometimes. And she just puts it on Twitter. She's like, anybody going to be in Dayton and want to do a one-on-one show?
Does she take the first person that replies?
No, I think there's some filtering that happens. And
has she ever met with someone who made her feel unsafe?
No.
Oh, that's cool.
No. She's met with some people where she's like, I like it when they laugh a lot. I was like, really? Like they're watching comedy? Yeah, no, you're not wrong. And but I will say that it has cut into Maria and I doing Joke Machine.
Yeah.
Because she gets to practice the hour. And then she has to lie down and and take a break and then sort of do notes on whatever happened there. And so in Dayton, I was like, I said to her, do you want me to sit through it? Sit through it. That's what I said out loud to Maria Bamford. I should be so lucky. And I do sit through it when I always watch her sets. She's one of the people that I don't leave the room.
Yeah.
That I want to hear the new versions.
Right, right, right.
Because she's the greatest comic working today.
Yeah.
She writes, she's got these, and Gary Peterson wrote a line for her. And Gary Peterson and Carmen and I did a round robin Joke Machine, and Gary wrote a very funny line for me, but I have to, it's an act out, and I do some act outs, but I think as we go into my twilight years here, I'm going to be doing more and more mugging, but I'm supposed to act like Godzilla. And I haven't been able, I've tried it once at a, at just a sort of a showcase show in town one time. And I didn't have the guts to do it in Dayton because I couldn't get to the joke. You ever, it's a 20 minute set.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't get there. I was busy working on the first half of it and I couldn't get to this third part of it.
You know what? When I was in Houston, I there's this physical thing I do in one of my jokes, right? And I thought, let me just, that thing where you do it like 10 times that's annoying and 15 times it's funny.
Yes.
I'm like, let me just see if I can do it 15 times. And I think I bailed at 10.
Did they laugh, like, stop laughing, and then laugh again?
No.
And then you bailed?
No, they didn't start again. They stopped. Shit. They laughed. They stopped.
Yep.
And then...
And you bailed.
And I couldn't take it.
You
couldn't
take it. I hate the silence.
My total respect for comics who can take it.
Yeah.
I'm not that kind of person. I can't take that.
Tig Notaro pushing the stool set?
Yes. Yeah.
I could never do that. I just admire her so much for being able to.
I think when she did it on Conan too, I think the problem was that the floors were so waxed or something. And
It wasn't mic'd enough?
Well, no. Like it wouldn't make a noise because the floors were pretty squeaky clean or something. I don't know. It didn't work like the noise wasn't what she needed.
If you watch that in retrospect though, like if you watch it now, it's super funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it may not have hit in the moment, but it was really, really funny.
Oh, it may have hit in the moment.
So,
oh, we're done.
It did. 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Ugh.
So, one minute. Okay. We're doing it.
Yeah.
And
we have to do another MaxCon?
I was gonna just put one in.
Oh, okay.
Just put one in. That's it. Max Fun, you guys. They're our network. That work? Did that work?
Oh, yeah.
No,
we can do that.
All right. Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.